quite a while ago with John 21 on his heart. And you might be thinking, oh, last week was Easter. Didn't we kind of end the story there? But the Gospel of John doesn't end in John 20. There's another chapter. And Darren has had a message that I really believe God has spoken to Darren about this chapter and given him some great insights. I want him to share those with us today. Before we get to those things, though, there's a principle here about how did Darren receive this from Jesus? How did that happen? So let's start there, Darren.
So the Lord came to me about 2 years ago, and he put John 21 on my heart through a situation I was going through, and he told me I was going to write a sermon. I said, no, not me. That's not me. That can't be me. I really felt like Moses at that moment. And so I just kind of pushed it under the rug, and about a year went by, and he came to me again about it. And so I became obedient to a point where I came to Coach Jake, and I asked him for help. I didn't know where to take this. We got together. He suggested that I go ahead and write it, you know. So I went through the process of reading it and meditating on it, praying about it. And then what would happen is I would go to work, and I would just start asking him, like, while I'm working, like, what about this part of John 21, or what about that part? What do you mean by this, Jesus? You know, and he would speak to me. I never thought that he could speak to me like that. And it was something, not that I hear here, but what I hear here. So I started building this repertoire about John 21. And every time I went to go write it, though, it's very hard for me to pull out what's in my heart and put it on paper. It's not the same. So I worked on a Friday, and I fasted that day. And then the next day I woke up, and I just began writing. And that's what came out, and I presented it to Coach Jake.
Yeah, so before we move on, I don't want you guys to miss this day, this principle here. Daniel was truly hungry to know Jesus better, right? Reading this over and over and over and over. And then he's talking to Jesus about it all throughout the workday. So it's real easy to just like, oh yeah, I want God to speak to me. But Daniel was really chasing after that, even fasting on a day, saying, help me have clarity with this thing. Saying, I'm not going to eat food today because I want this more. I want to have my mind clear for this. So I just wanted to throw out that principle here because it's easy to see, like, oh, there's somebody on stage, they're special, they're not like me, but we believe every single person that follows Jesus, that Jesus comes and lives inside of our heart, that Jesus is willing to speak to any one of us. There's no special person in this room. But hunger does make you special. If you're hungry for Jesus, he is going to show up more in your life. So that's the principle here that Darren is living out for us. But we're going to dig into this chapter. We're going to read a lot of John 21. If you want to turn there in your Bible, you can. We'll have it up on screen as well. So John chapter 21, starting in verse 2, says, Simon Peter, Thomas, also known as Didymus, Nathanael from Canaan in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. So Jesus had already risen from the dead, like we talked about last week. He'd appeared to his disciples a couple times at this point, but now you got this smaller group of the original disciples. They're together. In verse 3, it says, I'm going out to fish, Simon Peter told them, and they said, we'll go with you. So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. So Peter and several of these other guys, they were fishermen before becoming Christians. And they're getting all these great things from Jesus, but here in this moment, Peter's doing what he's comfortable with, right? He's comfortable being a fisherman in his past. He's going back to it, but they don't catch anything. They're out there. It says, early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. Jesus called out to them, friends, haven't you any fish? No, they answered. Jesus said, throw your net on the right side of the boat, you will find some. When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. This harkens back to Jesus' first miracle for Peter and some of these other guys. If you know this story, Peter and his other fishing buddies, they're out fishing. They can't catch anything all night. Jesus shows up, miraculous catch of fish. And Peter's first response when he first is in that first miracle is to get on his knees and say, Jesus, get away from me. I'm too sinful. I'm too evil. I need to be away from you. Jesus in that moment says, no, I want you to be my follower. Makes him one of his disciples. So this is like a whole throwback to that first miracle. And in verse 7, it says, then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, it is the Lord, he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he'd taken it off and jumped into the water. So, catch us up on what's going on.
So, Peter goes to go fishing after 3 years. I mean, he's not been in a fishing boat. This is recently after he's denied Christ 3 times. Jesus has appeared to him twice, right? And self-pity, self-resentment, fear, it's all self-will, and he's just in his own self. And so I can relate to that. And back when I was married and I had a stepdaughter who I was abusive to, verbally, emotionally, didn't treat her like I should have. Not like a father, like we were singing about up here today. Not like his, you know, and I just treated her very poorly. And he flipped it for me. I'm sorry, let me go back. So I came to a program of action, which I make amends, and I was in the process of writing a letter to this little girl who didn't want to really have anything to do with me, didn't want to hear what I had to say, probably. And so I was writing a letter to make amends, and I asked God for help in making this letter. And what he did is he flipped it for me. He let me experience what I did to her from her point of view. You know, I've heard a lot of people in my life and I know what I did, but I don't know what it's like to be them. I got to, he let me experience what it was like to be her in that position. And it was powerful. It was a intense feeling of unworthiness, you know. But at this same time, he showed me how much he loves me. And that power of love and that grace can overcome everything. That was almost 4 years ago that happened to me. So I was thinking about and somebody else I had wronged, my own daughter, Jordan. And I abandoned you. You know, I left you and your mom. And I got to experience what it was like from your point of view. He showed me that this week. And then he showed me his love for me.
Darren.
So it's like Peter's just like, he showed him that miracle again, like that first miracle that really caught Peter's attention the first time where he threw himself at the feet of Jesus, you know, like, and he just overwhelmed me with his presence and showed me the same love, you know, so I could really relate with what Peter went through.
Yeah, it's this incredible experience for Darren, this flip of really understanding how bad things that he had done were, how much it hurt, two young ladies. And in the same moment, feeling that incredible grace, acceptance, and love, that forgiveness from Jesus, having that melded in the same moment, not despairing, not hating himself, knowing how bad he's been, knowing how fully he's forgiven. Peter essentially goes through that same flip that Darren describes. So it makes total sense. He jumps into the water. I mean, there's this, like, it's the best experience ever, like what Darren has described it to me. This idea of he wants to get to Jesus so bad. He feels that Jesus is accepting him. Like, Jesus always, from the very beginning, I wasn't worthy of him. I'm not worthy of him right now, but he accepts me. For you, maybe you're here today, maybe that's what you need to hear, is that I'm not okay on my own. I am really bad. Jesus really does forgive me and accept me. Sometimes, like Peter, maybe potentially, he started to think, I'm doing good things. I'm a part of this because of what I've done. Peter's only a part of it because of what Jesus has handed to him, right? So let's look where that excitement drives a little further. Verse 8, the other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from shore, about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. So when we were working on writing the sermon, Darren and I thought, well, we can cut out some of this middle. And they're like, no, this is important. And it is important. Like, we see Jesus is resurrected. There's all this powerful stuff happening in this chapter. But Jesus took the time to fix breakfast, like to get breakfast ready for these guys. And it's not a drive-through sort of experience that Peter has with Jesus on the shore. It's this thing that takes all morning, right? Jesus knows what we need. He's willing to prepare it for us. He wants a relationship with us. Go ahead.
So, like, when I deny somebody or it hurt, you know, so, like, if I punch somebody in the face and then they didn't usually make me dinner afterwards, you know, it's like there's a lot of grace in that.
Yeah. You're experiencing the grace. Verse 10, Jesus said to them, bring me some of the fish you have just caught. Simon Peter here reminds me of almost like a golden retriever, like finally gets to see its master. He gets like super excited, like the tail wagging like crazy. Simon Peter climbed back into the boat and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153, but with even so many, it wasn't. Net was torn. So the same net that like several guys were having a hard time with earlier, Peter drags it by himself up on the shore. Super excited, the chance to do something for Jesus, right? He's on this high of so connected and realizing that connection is restored. So verse 12, Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast. None of the disciples dared to ask him, who are you? They knew it was the Lord. And it's we can skip over some of these phrases real quickly, but when you think about this, none of them dare to ask Jesus. You see this sort of stuff a lot with the disciples, particularly after Jesus is resurrected, this like awe and respect that is not as common for us today. Like normally we wouldn't say, oh, I didn't dare ask Jesus about that. It's not the normal wording we use. They have this like awe. Verse 13, Jesus came, took the bread, gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. Again, throwing back to something they've seen a lot him do before. This was now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. I only have one image for the slides today. I just want to put the image here kind of into context. Jesus has built this fire, that he has this long breakfast, and then he's about to have another conversation with Simon Peter. And to see that this is the sorts of interactions Jesus wants to have with us. I mean, poor Daniel today had this fairly tight time strain on it, but couldn't you just feel like there was a lot more space that God wanted with us this morning, right? Jesus doesn't want to rush through his time with you. So the first part of the sermon, what Darren was telling us about, is this awesome power of real forgiveness. But it comes with a call to action. Peter's story isn't done. chapter 21 doesn't end until this next conversation happens, okay? So Jesus goes on. It says, when they'd finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said. You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. I don't want to get too far into the Greek. I'm not a Greek expert. But here, Jesus is using a different word for love than Peter uses. Jesus is saying, do you love me in the ultimate, best, most incredible, selfless way? And Peter's saying, I love you quite a bit. You know, like Peter's not making a bit as big of a statement. And he seems gun-shy to me because he used to make a lot of big statements. Even the night that Jesus was betrayed and even the night that he betrays Jesus with his mouth, a few hours before that, he makes all these big statements about I'll do anything. So he's gun-shy to make that sort of commitment again. Verse 16, again Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. The third time, Jesus said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my sheep. So Darren, if you get a chance to talk to Darren one-on-one, he can talk to you about all sorts of stuff with this passage. But this piece was really important for us this morning. Three different times Jesus says, take care of my sheep or feed my sheep. What's going on there?
He's making a connection to Peter denying Christ three times. And in that, you know, he's telling Peter, you know, like, if you love me, and you'll feed my sheep. But so if I don't feed his sheep, I'm saying I don't love you. In fact, I'm saying I deny you. Like you don't mean anything to me in my life, and that I'm more important, and you're not. And I don't want you in my life, and I'm going to do what I do. So by going and feeding God's sheep, I get a way of repentance, and it's an action. I can do something about it today. I can turn from that old sin only by taking action, though, and helping other people. If I'm taking that action and feeding a sheep, then I'm saying I love you, Jesus. I'm saying I love you, Jordan.
Yeah. This idea, Jesus has particular people that he wants you to help. He has people he's called you to be involved with. And we can get off of that for all sorts of reasons, because we're afraid of something, because we're selfish about something. A real tricky way that we can get off track from feeding Jesus' sheep is by trying to run around and help everybody. Darren, tell us about how that happened in your life.
Yeah, about a year ago, I changed who I was helping. I was helping other people other than who God had put in front of me. And I was helping people. I just wasn't helping the people Jesus wanted me to help. He has a path for me. It's his will, not mine. But I take my will back. My flesh is weak, you know. So I'll go help who I think I need to help. And I began to get spiritually sick. My mind started racing and just thinking about things that is crazy. And I don't know where I was, but it hit me hard one day, and I was very sick on the inside. My head was racing, and I didn't know what to do. I went to Eric, and I had asked Eric for help, and he just helped me get back to the basics, you know, and helping people where God wants me to help people. And it's not that I can't help other people. Like, I have to know what my purpose here on earth is, and I just got back on track.
And to know where my purpose here on earth was. Jesus wants to show each one of you your purpose. And you need to be doing that purpose to take hold of the life he has for you. Darren talked to me about, like, I can't make my inside condition good. I can't fix my problems. But when I'm working with the people Jesus has pushed me to work with, and Jesus works on me. Jesus gives me the good things I need inside. That's how it works. We love Jesus by obeying. By saying, Jesus, who do you want me to help? And helping that person. Darren in his life, he had a friend like Eric to go to and say, what do I do? And Eric's advice was really similar. I don't know if you realize this, to Jesus' advice to the church in Ephesus in Revelation 2. This church is really dedicated to doing the right thing, but Jesus says, but you forgot your first love. Love is cold for me. Jesus says, go and do the things you did at first. Go back to the basics and start there. Rekindle that. So if you're here today and you're thinking, I'm drying up on the inside, I'm withering on the inside, even if it doesn't show on the outside, do like Darren did. Talk to a close friend that you trust and figure out, how do I go back to where Jesus and I started to walk apart? How do I start doing those things again and then take my next step with Jesus? Darren, any closing thought for us today?
Just about action, you know. I love the part about feeding the sheep, because that's something I can do. You know, that's something I can change. I can't change myself, like you said. I can't not sin necessarily, but I can go towards Jesus by feeding the sheep and just doing his will for me. That's how I change. So that's like for me to promise to my daughter I'll never do all that stuff again. I don't know that I can do that, but I know I can do the opposite of that stuff and help others.
Awesome, Darren. Yeah. So you've heard a lot today. Darren talked about real forgiveness is here. Forgiveness that's so powerful. It'll be the best thing you've ever felt. And you can have that today. Darren talked about if you have that forgiveness, then you have a calling on your life. Jesus wants you to help somebody else. And you can step into that calling today. So Darren, myself, the coaches' wives, small group, there's a whole bunch of people up front ready to pray, but you have to decide, what action am I going to take? Daniel, will you come up and lead us in response? Jesus, I thank you for today. Jesus, I pray, even though as this service is wrapping up, God, I pray that we would have that breakfast time sort of moment with you this week, where there's a good space of time with you. Bless us with that. In your name we pray. Amen.